Like Family with Brenda Donoghue.
Hello and welcome to Like Family. There is an old Irish saying, Urshka a Kela, a Warren Adina. Through the shelter of each other, people survive. In this edition of Like Family, we celebrate families who provide example, team spirit, music and joy, and yes, shelter in the storms. They are the volunteers who enrich our lives.
And you can join the conversation on Twitter at Brenda Donoghue or email brenda@rte.ie.
There has been times when we have been home and we've had family or friends over and our pagers have gone off and we just have to say, sorry, this has to come first.
I've left people sitting on doorsteps thinking, sorry, I gotta go. Hopefully I'll be back soon, but you don't really know. Once people understand you, they understand what you're doing. Not everyone gets it, but I think the people who get you get it.
The Blanchfields, sisters Nadia and Natasha and mum Shawnee, all volunteer with the RNLI in Feathert in County Wexford. Now, the interesting thing is, it was Nadia who got her mother and sister to volunteer. And at the dock where they launched the lifeboat, Nadia explains why she got involved.
I've been a volunteer here in Feathert for 4 years now. I grew up in County Leash, which is very inland, but we grew up on the River Barrow, so I've always been close to water and had an interest in water and boating since we were kids. We started to come on holidays down to Wexford or even just spend weekends down here. So even as young kids, you used to see the lifeboat launching and thought, wow, that looks so cool.
So this was a lovely place to come on holidays. You watched the lifeboats and thought, wow, that's amazing. But then something happened. Tell me a little bit about what really changed things for you.
So just over 4 years ago, there was a tragedy in the area where unfortunately a fishing boat sank and the fishermen were lost. But I just saw the community come together to help in any way possible. People on boats, walking the shoreline, just trying to help bring these people home. I saw then the lifeboat, they were spending hours upon hours out helping with the search. And our lifeboat operations manager is a friend of the family. And I spoke to him and said, how do you get involved? Like, I thought you had to be a fisherman or something to, you know, go on the lifeboat. But he said, of course, come on down, meet the crew, have a chat. And I went in for a chat, met everybody. And I thought, yeah, this looks really cool. I started then 4 years ago. I suppose I haven't really taken a break since.
How did you pull your other family members in?
So everyone had an interest from the beginning. And then after a couple of years, I suppose I was so involved that they were dragged along. Mum was making soup every time there was training or after a shout. So she was sort of unofficially part of the crew for a long time as well, until eventually we convinced her to join as the Jeep driver. And then Tash, I suppose, saw me out training and I convinced her how much fun it was and how great the training was and said, come on down and try, I suppose. So that's how they got involved.
Back at the RNLI station, Mum Shawnee, who was part of the shore crew, takes me on a training exercise.
Okay, so if it's an emergency... Ooh, we have...
That's loud.
Oh, it's loud, yeah. So I'm either driving or I'm sitting where you're sitting. I'd always had a draw to the sea. I hate living anywhere far from the edge. My dad was a keen boatman, if you like, in Wales. It's just something endless about living on the edge by the sea. I love it. Nadia joined. I used to come and make soup. I was keen to be involved. Nadia seemed to get a lot out of it. The two girls were involved. I didn't want to sort of be following my kids around, but it just seems a real good opportunity for a family to volunteer together. And I think living where we do and so much coast, we're on a peninsula, so we are surrounded by the ocean. So it's definitely, you know well that if something does happen, that, you know, that there is an opportunity for us to do something good. We're just heading back into the boathouse here now, just to put the land over to bed. After an exercise or a shout, we would spend about probably 45 minutes out here scrubbing everything down.
See, I think that's the hard bit.
For me, it's the worst bit.
Yeah.
Because you're cold and tired and wet, and you get wetter and colder, and that's usually when I put the soup on.
Natasha, the youngest of the family, was 19 when she started volunteering with the RNLI. She's working on the Naoimh Doohan lifeboat.
Yeah, I'm the baby of the family. I was a bit apprehensive to put myself forward at first.
Were you following your sister, or were you saying, I'm going to not do it because she's doing it?
We've always had similar hobbies. My whole image of what was going to be was heading out in these awful storms and danger and all these sort of things. So I said, I'll let Nadia head out and see how she gets on first. And then, if all is well, I might put my name down. You do grow up a lot, because obviously you get in this boat and it's serious business. You're not messing. We do have fun, but end of the day, there is a job to be done. So yeah, they definitely did grow up very quickly with it. And your confidence does develop majorly, because you're meeting different people, you're training with different people, you're not always with the same crew. So you develop relationships with them, and it's been really good.
When we started the voyage, there was just me and you.
This song, The Voyage, sung by Christy Moore, is made for the Blanchfield family.
Life is an ocean, and love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat.
The thing that it always gets me here is when they launch at night, I always get this weird feeling when I see it. They go out, start the engine, and you can hear the engine, and slowly the noise of the engine fades away as they leave, and there's just the rear light of the boat, and I just watch it until it disappears, and you get this big lump and you think, my God, I hope they come back. And you just never know, you know, when it goes, you just hope they'll be safe and come home safe. And there's a feeling of concern and pride and everything, but it's just like it disappears, and then you're out there somewhere in the and it's the dark. When you're in the dark,
try being on the boat. You're surrounded by darkness.
I know. I'm sure it's different. It's different for all of us. It feels different. Today is calm and the sea is making lovely,
beautiful
sounds. But we often come here and the waves are crashing in and there's seaweed up to your waist and it's disgusting and it stinks, and it's different. And then when you see them go out over the waves, you just wait. So as a family, when the focus is RNLI, we pull together. We do. I'm always amazed how effective they are. Even when I've watched them do open days and teach young children and quite old ladies sometimes about what they do and how much they know. They're amazing.
Being sisters, we have a different relationship to the other crew. We have each other to rely on. We understand each other better. There's always that support, even if we're not on the boat together. When we come home, we understand what each other go through. But it is nice to have somebody with you that understands.
And what about you in terms of your mum?
Oh, I think she's absolutely fantastic. She's deadly. I know, she is in her high vis. Yeah.
You do get a lot from it. For a start, I mean, it's not just about our family, but the RNLI are sort of pretty much a family as well. You know, we've made a lot of friends. Our boat's exposed to the elements. We don't have a roof, we don't have any cover. And on a Wednesday when it's blowing horrible and wet and miserable, but not quite rough enough not to go, we go. And you'd rather stay by the fire, but once you go, you're out in the fresh air, and it's a really good feeling when you're out in the fresh air.
It's a fabulous feeling.
Started the voyage, there was just me and you. Now gathered round us, we have our own crew.
Okay, right, jab. Show ahead, backhand to the body.
Edenderry, County Offaly, is the location for a world-renowned female boxing academy. As the movie Field of Dreams says, build it and they will come. In St. Bridget's Boxing Club, Liam Brehan is a real-life Ray Kinsella.
Jab. Keep an eye on your feet. Come on, feet work's important.
I met Liam at the club when his training session was underway.
Well, we're looking at something that has grown for the last 10-12 years since Katie won the gold medal in Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Won the gold medal in London. My daughter at the time was playing football, under 14 football, and she said all the girls want to box. And being coming from a boxing family myself, all lads, I'm part of a family of eight boys, I said, Maeve, girls don't box. And she said, what about Katie? And I said, look, that's just something rare. And she said, no, but the girls want to train. as the fellow says, the rest is history. So we've been working, even though we have males in the club, we've been working with females for the last number of years. We do it for the love of it, and we do it to give the kids a chance. In Derry, St. Bridget's Club is the home of female boxing, anywhere in the world.
Why do you do it?
I was fairly good at sport, but every sport, but I was a little bit wild, and I probably could have been good enough maybe if I had to put it in back then.
Good enough for what?
To maybe Olympics.
In boxing?
Actually, no, running. Fairly good runner, and like every kid back, I didn't know what commitment was. I didn't know what it was like to work hard at something. I ended up in America. Things got tough out there because back then there was no mobile phones, and it's a long way away. And things didn't work out, didn't get work, ended up in the streets.
Living on the streets?
Yeah. That kind of wakes you up to probably get a bit emotional now. It's times like that that you realise what you're going to give up. Yeah, you kind of realise then when you're in a hole and, you know, what could have been, or if you'd done something different. And your first thoughts then is, how do you get out of here? Long story short, I met someone one night on the streets who had a good chat with, and she helped me out, got me on a bus, got me to Kennedy Airport, and I ended up in London. Never in London in my life. Talk about being naive. I hitched on in along the A4. I knew the brothers were living in around London Bridge somewhere, and I ended up outside my brother's apartment or flat that we would have called him in them days, and he actually came home from lunch, so I'd actually come back and found me asleep, and that was a Wednesday. I'll never forget as long as I live. And they brought me upstairs and I slept till Saturday. Look, I made mistakes. Some people make them and they don't get a second chance or a third chance. I got out of New York and I got the second chance. I never really got the chance then to give it back. So when the opportunity came, when my daughter wanted the box and the opportunity came, and I seen the struggle that some of these guys are having, the girls, because it's a male sport. Like, I've found these girls that come in here, and they're all different. They're all a different personality. Some don't like team sports, some do. Some are here just to gain confidence. And then when I got the chance and I seen what they needed, there was no money and there was no one putting anything in behind them, and these kids want to train. Then I said, this is my chance. This is where I now will try and change some of these kids' lives.
Well, with Liam's vision, St. Bridget's Boxing Club can now accommodate 28 boxers on site. Grace, originally from Liberia, has been spending time in training camp here.
This girl here coming up the stairs.
Yes.
Her backstory is amazing. This girl was born in Liberia.
Hello, what's your name?
Grace.
Grace. Hi, Grace.
At 2 years of age, her mother, she lived from 2 to 10 years. On a refugee camp in Nigeria. Got her way to Canada, found her way here, and here 3 weeks ago she became the first Liberian boxer to win a medal at the All African Games.
Congratulations to you on your wonderful achievement.
Thank you. Thank God for leading me to Liam, you know, without him. I honestly didn't think I would achieve what I have achieved, and, you know, Liam helping me to believe in myself really helped me achieve what I did. He sees something in me, and I really pray that this relationship grows stronger and better and we continue to work together. So Liam does mean a lot to me.
Right, everyone, we're going chatterbox. Fill the rings and fill the floors, okay?
What's the dream?
The dream is, this has always been the dream, and it's not about Olympians or Irish champions. This club was formed in Edenderry in 1933 when times were tough. Everyone was welcome here. The back in them days was hardly a membership fee. My father then, he would have put a lot of money and time and effort in my uncles to keep it that way. We are now still, I'd say, the cheapest sports club anywhere in the world. We are €20 a year and no other fee. We only do that because of insurance purposes, that a person actually signs a membership form. You see the people here tonight, and they want to be here, and there's smiles on their faces. That's my repayment, that you're making a difference. We're like a family. We have our fallouts and we come back together, and you know, we've been there, we're back, we've come out the right end. We are a family. Okay, that's it for tonight. Just a stretch. Listen, good session, well done. We'll see you all Wednesday night. Take care.
is Grainne Sands in Savile GAA Club in County Down.
I never in a million years, whenever I was a girl into pink things and frilly things and blonde things, I just did never, ever in a million years imagine that I would love putting on a ga strip to go and referee in the middle of the pouring rain, wind and hands freezing, lips freezing, blue skin at the end of it. Never in a million years. But I fell in love with it massively and I'm so happy.
Grainne is a referee for the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. Her own club is Glen, but she takes me up the road to Nan Sands Park in Savile. This club is named after her grandmother, former SDLP councillor, who established the playing fields here in the mid-1980s. And it was her Nan's community spirit that inspired Grainne to become a referee.
Well, Nanny was... she was quite a powerful woman and like a scary woman, I'd say. She was somebody who wasn't afraid to do anything. Especially in the 80s as a woman, I would say, even more so now, because I know we're trying to get equality and a club for all with the GAA. She was doing it in the mid-80s. She would have been a woman to be reckoned with. And I think there's a wee bit of that in me too, I suppose, being a referee, I would say. You'd have no fear, but, you know, she was really... strong and powerful in getting the money together and establishing this and asking the council that could buy the pitch, and you know it was done, and she's well known still to this day. Now she's been dead a long time, but a lot of people still remember her, and anywhere I go in Ireland to referee, I would say, well, people would ask, where are you from? And I would say I'm from Savile. A lot of people remember her and know her, so I'm quite proud of that, and I'm so proud that I'm now doing something in the GAA, something that hopefully will be remembered the way that she was remembered. This is the sign just at the gate, and you can see it from the road, and it's a sign that says in big bold writing here, Nan Sands Park. So it's something that everybody who comes through those gates sees, and it's something that I'm extremely proud of to be her granddaughter.
And you've brought me here for a particular reason.
So when I moved back home in 2009, I wanted to get back into the community again. I was away for 10 years. I had lost track of my friends and my home, and I knew coming back, the one way to get back into your community is whenever you move home after being away for so long is to go back to your GAA club. I suppose Nanny Sands, having her name here, made me think, oh yeah, it's a GAA, that's where you go. That's where your friends are, that's where your roots are, and that's where you're established, remembered. I realised, you know, my grandmother could do something wonderful. Can I do something wonderful as well? So that was one of the inspiring things, which whenever I was coaching or involved in the LGFA again or becoming a referee, I thought, Nanny Sands did it. People know her all around Ireland. I can do it.
And Grainne's enthusiasm for refereeing penetrates all aspects of her life.
This is your car.
We have a personalised registration on it, and it actually says REF.
It says GS, which is my initials, Grainne Sands, and ref for refereeing. The only thing is, some days after a match, I'm afraid to come out and the glass will be broken or something if I didn't referee a good match. So let's go and see my other club, Brenda. My other club, Glen.
Starting to rain, always typical when you're going training, isn't it?
Oh, sure, I'm well used to it. I wouldn't be afraid of the rain now.
Grainne, obviously you need to get your head around the rules of reffing.
I'm so into reffing that in the morning when I'm putting on my makeup or straightening my hair, the rules are printed and stuck onto the mirror.
Stop!
You have to keep them fresh in your mind. You can't just read them at the start of the year and put them away. You have to, because rules are, they're live, you know. One rule could cover so many aspects of a game, so many ways of actually committing a foul. So you have to keep them fresh in your mind all the time. And yes, I do have them stuck in my mirror. I have them actually in the car here beside me, and I have them in my handbag.
As a Kildare supporter, I can definitely say we don't always love referees.
Nobody loves referees, Brenda. Tell me one person.
It's a lonely kind of role.
Oh, it is, but I suppose you have to be a person who's happy going places on their own, just having the confidence to walk out onto a strange pitch where you've never reffed before.
Yeah.
So you have to find out where that club is. You have to work out your route of how to get to it. Then you have to get out of your car, change on into your boots and walk onto a pitch full of strange people. And then referee it. So not only do you have to ref a game, getting there and walking onto the pitch takes some amount of guts. So we're crossing the border of Glen and Savile right now. You're now entering Glen.
Inspired by her nanny, Nan Sands, becoming a referee has brought Grainne great happiness.
I love it so much and it has taken over my life.
Like every weekend?
Brenda, not only every weekend, but midweek too. Like last year I did 150 something matches and the previous year...
You
reffed
100?
Yeah, I reffed 150 matches. I was involved in 165 the previous year, but that was some of that very small percentage would have been doing umpire lines person as well, but predominantly refereeing. Like I would do 5 matches a week. But that's purely because I love it. I get such a high. It makes me so happy. It keeps me fit. It gets me out. It introduces me to people. Majority of people are volunteers. We all love it. I am so lucky that I have found this. I just wish I found it maybe 30 years ago. Age is against me. My knees are against me. The shin splints are killing me today. But another thing that I aspire is to be a role model and for other girls to say, I took up refereeing because I saw you doing it the way I didn't see a girl in the pitch. That's one of my hopes and dreams, that somebody, even if one person comes up to me and says I'm doing this because of you, that would just make my day, hopefully.
Hello everyone, we are twins from Ukraine, Alina and Ilona, and we are happy to be here today to perform for you. The first one is old Irish song, Molly Malone. I think you know the song. In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. She wheeled her wheelbarrow, the street broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
That is 18-year-old twins, Alina and Ilona, from Ukraine, now living in Belturbet, County Cavan.
Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
In October 2022, they made the difficult decision to leave their home in Prilukin in northern Ukraine and come to Ireland. They now live in Belturbet, where they volunteer locally. One of the ways they volunteer is singing in the College View nursing home in Cavan. And despite arriving a little over a year and a half ago, the twins are sitting their leaving cert soon. However, leaving Ukraine was a very difficult decision. Alina.
It got really dangerous in my city, so we had no other choice but to move. It was really hard for us because every day there was raid air sirens and we were hiding in the basements and we were afraid. So we gathered our courage and decided to move to Ireland. When the war started, we were really devastated and it was horrible. But then we realized what can we do in order to help to ease this situation. So we decided to do our first volunteering activity. We were helping to make the clothes for the soldiers, to make the special nets. It really was nice to do something useful and helpful.
So that was your first experience of volunteering.
We moved to Belturbet, and when we adapted there and we volunteered in Cavan, we did litter picking and other volunteerings. We love to volunteer because by volunteering we can give back Ireland what Ireland gave us.
And they really love singing in the nursing home.
I'm happy to see that their hearts are filling up with joy and happiness, and you see the sparks in their eyes, and they're so happy to see us performing for them, and it's just perfect.
Alive, alive, oh.
Well, the last word goes to Brendan, a resident in the College View Nursing Home.
One could save her.
Thank you very much for visiting us on this special day to sing your beautiful songs in English and in Ukrainian. And we love to see you come back again. Brings life into the place, you know. That's even on your worst days when you could be down. A bit of music brings a lot of enjoyment to everybody. It keeps us alive. Thank you very much, girls, for coming here. And I wish you and your families all the best for the future.
Alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels. Alive, alive, oh.
Well, the best of luck to Alina and Ilona sitting the Leaving Cert. And, of course, good luck to everybody sitting the exams. That is it from this Like family. Thanks to all the amazing volunteers who spoke to me. And thank you for listening.